We're on Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. Let's see if we can find the place. It's Omar Mar Zutra. And we're going to count up from the bottom of the Amud. See how many lines. Let's say about 9 lines. The first word in the line in my Gemara is Velo Lebeis Hakise. And yesterday we spoke about the mitzvah that's incumbent upon a king. And the Torah says, "V'kasavlo Mishnah haTorah hazos." And the Gemara understood that the word Mishnah means a second Torah. What does it mean, a second Torah? It's not enough for the Melech to have one Sefer Torah written on his behalf, because that mitzvah is common to every single Jew. But there's a special, unique, double mitzvah in the case of the Kohen, of the Melech. Of Mishnah HaTorah HaZos. And the Gemara quoted a Braisa to prove that he has to write Shtei Toros. Now at this point, what we're about to embark upon is another alternative understanding of Mishnah HaTorah HaZos. That in fact, Mishnah HaTorah HaZos, the word Mishnah should be taken a little bit out of context, and it's not a reference to the special obligation of a king to write a second Sefer Torah. In fact, a king can only, all he has to write is one Sefer Torah, according to many Tannaim, and we'll see this as we go along. But rather, Mishnah, the word Mishnah here means from Lashon Shinui. Shinui means a change. And it's some sort of change in the Torah. Now, once you use the word a change with regard to Torah, you're in very precarious grounds, because one of the 13 principles of our faith is that there is no change to the Torah. So what could be a change to the Torah that could possibly be acceptable? And we're going to really be pushing the envelope here, really to the limits here, to come up with a change that's really called Mishnah, and it's really a change, but nevertheless, it still is within the fold. You know, you haven't fallen off the cliff. Omar Mar Zutra. Others say Vitema, according to different tradition, Mar Ukva. This statement comes from Mar Ukva. Now keep in mind that these are Amoraim, and they are attacking, you know, a very difficult, complex sugya here. So if they can find support from Tanoim, we would feel a lot more comfortable about this major revolution that they're about to present to us. Gentlemen, are you excited about this? I mean, have I dramatized this enough? I mean, if I haven't, then this is very dramatic. And it says the following, B'tchila. B'tchila means at the time of the original Matan Torah at Har Sinai. Nitna Torah liYisrael b'ksav Ivri v'loshan HaKodesh. Now, there are two descriptions here of the way the Torah was given, the form in which the Torah was given at the time of Har Sinai. And these two descriptions reflect or address two different dimensions. Number one is what's called the Ksav. The Ksav means the Tzuras HaOsios. What did the letters look like? And number two is the Lashon. What language was the Torah written in? Now, the second dimension, the latter dimension, is it says Lashon HaKodesh. Okay, that's okay. I have no problem with that the Torah was given in Lashon HaKodesh. I didn't think it was given in Greek, in Swahili, not even in French or in English. I'm okay with that. The Torah was given in Lashon HaKodesh. But the first dimension here, he says Ksav Ivri. And the word Ivri comes from the Lashon Ever Hanar, that the people who were on the other side of the Euphrates River, they had a different kind of Ksav. Now, our Torah, the way we have it today, is written in a Ksav which is called Ksav Ashuris. And we're going to soon see that this is from Ezra and onwards. It's almost as if the Torah was given twice. Once it was given at Har Sinai, and the Ksav of the Torah, if you looked into the Torah, what you saw are the letters of the Evranar, the Ivrim, and we'll see what those letters look like in Mirza Hashem. And then Ezra came along and gave the Torah again, and in the second giving of the Torah, it was not given in Ksava Ivri, but Chazra v'nitna lehem b'imei Ezra, this at the beginning, no, Ezra comes to span the period between the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash and the building of the second, which is a 70-year period of Golus Bavel. Now, keep in mind that the real Navi during that period was, anybody know who that was? Starts with a Z in English.
Zechariah
Novi. In fact, a lot of what we're going to read about Hanukkah is from Zechariah Novi, because Zechariah Novi, you know, Hanukkah took place during Bayis Sheni, but Zechariah Novi was the Novi who foretold the building of Bayis Sheni. And there's a whole section, I think it's the fourth chapter in Zechariah, where he describes the menorah, and we read that on Shabbos Hanukkah as our haftorah for that, because he describes the menorah as it supposedly would be at the time of Bayis Sheni, and that's the menorah in which we had the miracle of Bayis Sheni, the miracle of Hanukkah. By the way, this is not for us now, but his description of the menorah is nothing like the menorah that actually came into fruition at the time of Bayis Sheni, but that's a whole different discussion. And following that period of Nevuah Zechariah, and we usher into the period of Bayis Sheni, the building of the second Bayis, that's the period of Ezra. Now Ezra gives the Torah, and the Ksav, the script of the Torah, is no longer Ivri, as it were, until that time, from the time Moshe Rabbeinu went on. I suspect that there weren't that many Sifrei Torah around at that time. Sifrei Torah was somewhat rare and far between. But be that as it may, that's just a hunch of mine. At the time of Ezra, the Torah was given in Ksav Ashuris. Forget about Ksav Ivri. Now we have something called Ksav Ashuris, which is the Ksav that we're familiar with today. And honestly, you can shech me for saying this, but I have a feeling that any Sefer Torah that was in existence at the time of Ezra and was written in Ksav Ivri would be possible, because it's a new era in Torah and in Ksivas HaTorah, that the Ksav of the Torah has to be Ksav Ashuris. So again, I'll tell you what I'm comfortable with, but the next two words I'm very uncomfortable with. But so far what I'm comfortable with is that the language in which the Torah was communicated at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, at the time of Har Sinai, was Lashon HaKodesh. I'm very comfortable with that. I'm comfortable with the fact that our Ksav, our script, is Ksav Ashuris. Again, we'll see why the word Ashuris is used. Really, it's really Ksav Aramis. Aram is a smaller part of a greater area, which is called Ashur. But okay, we'll get to that later. Everything will come in its time in Mirtz Hashem. But the next two words, I mean, this really blows me out of the water. Ubaloshen Arami. No, it's not only was the Ksav a Ksav Ashuris, which is Aramis, but the language itself, is the Torah was given by Ezra in a different language, not in Lashon Kodesh. The only good news is, again, not that I'm a happy camper here, is the next line in the Braisa. In the quotation of Marzutra. And that is that Biru Lehem Yisrael, I guess in a sense, Ezra did not nail it all down in a coffin. You know, he gave the Jewish people alternatives. It's a little bit similar to what I call the system of checks and balances, like you have a Gzeir Shein Atzim Yochel Lamod Ba. You know, sometimes the Chazal make a takana, but it's contingent on the fact that Klal Yisrael will accept that takana, will approve of it. And in this case, what happened was the Jewish people accepted Ezra's takana, but only halfway, in a halfway measure. What they accepted was the Ksav Ashuris. Hence we have today a Sefer Torah that's written in Ksav Ashuris. However, they refused to write the Sefer Torah in a new language, in this case in Aramaic, Ubaloshen HaKodesh, but they wanted that the Ksav Ashuris, you could take any script and write any language in that script, right? You transliterate. But here, Bnei Yisrael chose that they would go the right way, and they wanted to maintain the Lashon of the Torah as it was given at Har Sinai, and that would be Lashon HaKodesh. They accepted Ezra's enactment or his revolution as far as the Ksav is concerned, and we switch from a Ksav Ivri, which we don't know yet what a Ksav Ivri looks like, we'll get to that in a second, to a Ksav, we call it Ashuris, or you could call it Aramis. But as far as the language of the Torah itself, it remained Lashon HaKodesh. Now, were there any peoples or any deviant movements or groups within Klal Yisrael? You know, whenever you have a movement in Klal Yisrael, you always have a deviant movement, right? Like today we have all these deviant movements. So what do we have? We have a deviant movement, and that's the movement called Hedyotos. Now, the word hedyot could mean many different things in many different contexts. In many cases, it's a powerful kind of word. Let's say if you're not a melech, you're a hedyot. If you're not the Kohen Gadol, maybe you're a Kohen hedyot. But sometimes, and this is more often than not, the word hedyot has a pejorative connotation to it. Like, for example, the Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch, if you would sleep in the sukkah or even eat in the sukkah when the rain is coming down pouring, you're a hedyot, which means that you're doing what you're not supposed to do. If God brought down the rains, it means get yourself out of the sukkah. So sometimes the word hedyot, and here's a perfect example, is a pejorative term. Hinichu hedyotos. What did the hedyotos do? They wanted the ksav ivris. You know, they said that we can't allow Ezra to change the tradition. We have the tradition of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's the Torah Shebe Ksav has to be written in Ksav Ivri. U'Belashon Arami. But they were very happy to change the language of the Torah. And the language of the Torah would be Aramaic. Man Hedyotos. So the Gemara says, who are these Hedyotos? Omer Rav Chisda Kusoy. These are the Kusim. Now, exactly who the Kusim are, I have a long footnote to share with you. And let me begin this footnote right now. Because this footnote and the one afterwards will tell us a lot about what's going on here. He says the following. That this Ksav Ivri, which was the Ksav in which the Torah was originally given, and it's also the Ksav which the Kusim accepted for their Torah. So if you find the Sefer Torah from the Kusim, it will be written in Ksav Ivri. It will give you a little bit of a picture of what it was like back at the time before Ezra. So the Rishonim and the Achronim, who lived in Eretz Yisrael and in the nearby locations around Eretz Yisrael, they identify this Ksav Ivri as Ksav HaMotzui. It can be found kol hashanim v'ad hayom hazeh, and these are achronim that are relatively recent, bidei hakusim. Who are the kusim? Hei ma nikram hayom shomranim. Right? So what are they called? In English they call them Samaritans? What are they called? The Samaritans. V'garim, and where do they live? B'shchem u'b'chulon. So you can visit Shechem, you can visit Chulon. Again, you may want to have extra security if you're going to Shechem, I don't know. And you can meet with these Shomronim. V'yesh b'yadam, and they have in their possession, Sifrei Torah Atikim. They have ancient manuscripts of the Torah, of the written Torah. And the Rambam also, in his Pirsha Mishnayis in Masechta Yadayim, says that Ksav Ivri, you can find the Ksav Ivri even today. Ksav Shala'am, it's the script of a nation. Hanikra El Smira, okay, that's in Arabic, who are today called the Shomranim. V'chein Kosav Ramban, B'sof Pirusha L'Torah, Shekshebol Eretz Yisrael, when the Ramban arrived at the shores of Israel, Motzom Adbea Kesef, he found an ancient silver coin, B'yad Ziknei Oretz, in the hands of the elders of the land, and it's old people, im ksav hayadua lekusim, and this silver coin had on it the imprint of the script of the kusim. The Radbaz, who lived many centuries later, 5 centuries ago, he writes that zeh ksav nimtzei etzal kusim adayin, they still have the script. And he says, Lo hurku mi kli al kli. They kept these Sifrei Torah locked up in certain utensils, and it wasn't removed from one kli to another. And it didn't go like the Jewish people went into Golus, and we lost a lot of the Sifrei Torah. V'nishar biyodom k'mo shayim etchila. And you could actually see in their possession of the Kusim Sifrei Torah like those that were way back when. And he says again what we saw before, that there are matbeos that have on it, on these coins, the Ksav HaIvri, this ancient script. And he says, in the name of one of the Gedolim, Maharam Al-Shakar, in a tshuva, he writes that Sifrei Torah shel HaKusim be Eretz Yisrael. He says, even to this day, the Sifrei Torah that the Kusim have in the land of Israel, Ksuvim be Osios Elu, are written in those in that script. The Omrim, and they claim that the Ksav Zeh Nitna Torah, this was the actual script in which the Torah was given. The Yeshlem Sefer Torah Kazeh, they have one such Sefer Torah in Shechem, and they claim that it was written at the time of Pinchas Ben Eliezer HaKohen. So we're going back to Moshe Rabbeinu's period of time. That's how old the Sefer Torah is. And he says there seems to be an indication in the Yerushalmi that is the Ksav with which the Torah was given. What does the Yerushalmi say that gives us the indication? The Yerushalmi says that when the Luchos HaEdus were inscribed, engraved on the tablets, there was one letter that stood miraculously. And what is that? The Ayin. Now, our Ayin doesn't require any miracle. You just chisel out an Ayin. And he says the following, that, and I'll show you the picture and the diagram of the Ksav HaIvri. And the Ayin is what we would call a Samach. It's a completely round letter. And the round letter has to have that piece of stone hanging in the middle, right? So to get a round letter, you have to chisel it around. And then there's that circle in the middle, the smallest circle. He says that's the Ayin of the Ksav Ivri, the ancient manuscript. And he writes that there are mezuzos and kamios that have a Ksav Ivri written on the outside. I don't know if you've ever seen, sometimes there are like sort of script on the outside of a mezuzah. And he says, V'cheinu b'mezuzos avos b'yireim, the Sefer Yireim, the Rav Yoh, these are Rishonim from Ashkenaz, they say that there are mezuzos that have this Ksav Ivri somewhere on the outside of the cloth.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
When was this written that they say that the Sefer Torah was in Shechem? Because as far as I know, it's not still there.
Oh, it's not in Shechem anymore?
I don't know.
It's on Har Gerizim.
Oh, it's on Har Gerizim? How far is that from Shechem? Like a half hour?
Yeah, less. And it's very safe, and it's a very nice place to visit.
Do they actually show you the Sefer Torah? Now I'll tell you what, it's not, if I was one of those guys, I would not, I don't want to take out, this is thousands of years old, I don't know. I know even when I used to collect antique svarim, and they told me, don't show it to every Tom, Dick, and Harry,
a special...
And my antique svarim are, I used to have one safer that would, next year would celebrate its 500th birthday. But I unfortunately made a mistake. Anyway, so now, what happens? So let's just take a look. I have here a little diagram. In the back he has it in larger print of the Aleph Beis, all the 32 letters in Ksav Ashur is the way we're familiar with it, and parallel and correspond to each letter, I have it in the Ksav HaIvri. And the Ayin, as we said before, is this round circle. It's interesting, I'm just making a few comments over here, the Aleph in Ksav HaIvri is very similar to, what's the word that we use for, like Rashi's, Rashi's Aleph Beis. Yeah, maybe I'll show you the larger one if I can find one. Is that would that be helpful?
Yeah.
Okay, let me just see if I can find one. What daf are we on? Chaf Aleph, right? Oh, here, this is a little bit large. It's the same exact diagram. Okay, so you could kind of project it on the blackboard if you had the technology. But the Aleph looks like Rashi script Aleph. Very similar. you know how to make an aleph in Rashi, right? You make one line down and then a C on, you know, to its right. Just that here in the Ksav Ivri, the C is, looks more like a triangle than a curved C. Now the D, the Dalet is interesting. It's just a like a teepee. It's just like a Hamantash, you know.
Everything's straight.
Bays looks like a pay, and the pay looks like a bays.
Oh, that's interesting. So let's take a look at the bays is like a pay a little bit, yeah. And then let's look at the pay. His pay is a little bit like a bays, I guess, if you're sort of creative about it. Oh, it's interesting, the resh looks like a peso fit almost. The shin becomes a W in English. The N is a little bit like a Y, you know, in script. And the Chaf is the backwards Aleph. Basically, you take the same Aleph in the Ksav HaIvri and you turn it around, you end up with a Chaf, pretty much. Not totally, but...
Yeah.
Now, on the bottom, he writes a note here. He says, B'matbeos u'b'ksavim atikim. He says, in old coins and ancient manuscripts, nimtzu tzuros shonos l'chol os. We have different script for each one of the letters, meaning of Ashuris. Hakrovo zula zuba ofen kloli. They're very similar to what you'll see here in general, with nuances of differences. And, you know, you don't know with all these different manuscripts and different coins which exactly is the Ksav HaIvri. But at least according to this historical presentation, the expert on this, you know, the final decisor would be that Sefer Torah in Hagrizim or in Shchem or wherever it is that's in the hands of the Shomronim, that according to their claim dates back to the time of Pinchas ben Elazar HaKohen. So again, you know, we're gonna have to come to grips with the question: how could Ezra change the Ksav of the Sefer Torah? And that's pretty revolutionary. But as far as the language in which the Sefer Torah was written, it's very nice that the Kusim wanted to maintain the language that was the vernacular at that time. You know, that people should understand the Sefer Torah. But nevertheless, we have a tradition that's the Prushim that did not accept the tradition of the Kusim, that we want to maintain the original language of Lashon Kodesh of the Sefer Torah. Now it's interesting, the Gemara adds one description to the Ksav Ivris, and I'm not exactly sure what the Gemara wanted to accomplish here. Omer my Ksav Ivris, Omer Avchiz the Ksav Livona. Livona means that it's written, Rashi says, in Osios Gedolos, in larger letters. I'm not exactly sure why the script has to be written either in small letters or larger letters. I mean, that's your decision. You decide how you want to write.
It's all caps. It's saying it's all caps rather than, like when you write something in all caps, in all big letters.
But every
as opposed to what?
You know, we like in English, you have caps and you have.
Oh, I see.
So maybe there was a. You know, like we and, do
small letters,
small
and
letters,
capital letters.
Capital. Maybe that's what he means.
Maybe. I don't know. It says Osios Gedolos. You know, the impression you get is it's larger letters.
Right,
I don't
so
know.
When you have in your caps, a little larger than the smaller.
No, that I understand, but I don't know. Osios Gedolos, he doesn't mention there are smaller letters.
There was also a trend where the writing was all over the place, and at some point it started becoming more uniform. So maybe this is the reference to the fact that written language became more uniform in the way it was written.
Okay, I mean, you could say anything you want. I just want to know what the Gemara is saying. That's all.
Yeah, right.
All right. In any event, let's try to understand how Ezra could pull this off. Hikshu Rashbav HaRitva Ketzad Shina Ezra HaKsav. How could Ezra change the letters of the Torah? Hare, we have a principle. Ein Navi Rashoy L'Chadish Dover Me'ata. A Navi does not have the power to change things. Now let's just understand a few things here. First of all, I'm not sure if Ezra changed it Midin Navi. The Rishonim seem to assume so. I don't know. I'm just sharing with you my my confusion here. I don't know that Ezra was functioning here in his capacity as a Navi. I don't know. I mean, the last Nevi'im were Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi. So that confuses me. It could be that when the Rishonim invoked this principle of Ein Navi Rashoi L'chadish Dover Me'ata, they don't mean to say that Ezra is functioning as a Navi. It's almost like a Kal V'chomer, that if a Navi doesn't have the power to change the laws of the Torah, then how much more so Ezra, with all due respect to his greatness as a leader of Israel, he doesn't have a greater status than that of a Navi. He also doesn't have the power to change the law of the Torah. Now, there are such things as enactments, as takonos de Rabbanon, but those are really gzeros or siogim, right? Sometimes the Rabbanon feel that if we leave the Doraisa as is without setting up a harchoka, you might come to violate the Doraisa. But to change the ksav of the Torah, I mean, that's really a change in the Doraisa, and it's not a siog, it's not a gzera. What authority does Ezra have to do such a thing? And basically, there are going to be three approaches to try to answer this question. But before we get to answering this question, I just want to point out that the Gemara on Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, which we're about to embark upon, says that Ezra was really following in the footsteps, or I don't know what word to use, but in the revolution was made by the Malach Hashem. And the Malach Hashem appears to Belshazzar, as we'll soon see, and this is in Sefer Daniel, with a Ksav Ashuris. And that's really where the message of the Torah was given in the Ksav Ashuris. Ezra built himself on the Malach. But nevertheless, the Malach did not change the Ksav of the Torah. The Malach introduced Ksav Ashuris within the framework of this, you know, divine message that was being transmitted to Belshazzar. But, you know, nowhere do we find that the Malach changed the Ksav of the Torah. Ezra was the first one to change the Ksav of the Torah. That's going to be the language of Mishnah Torah that we're going to darshan. So what authority does Ezra have? So the first answer is, which is again a very weak answer in my humble opinion, that since the Torah says Mishnah Torah, what the Torah itself is telling you, that there's going to be a shinui in the Torah. So then, although we are never authorized to change the Torah, but here the Torah itself authorized us to change the Torah by telling us there's something called Mishnah Torah. The second answer is that to change the ksav of the Torah is not considered a shinui. We are not changing the status of the Torah or the laws of the Torah. We're not undermining the Torah. We're just changing the letters in which the Torah is written. Now, this answer, honestly, requires a tremendous amount of research in halachic terms, because one of the laws of the Sefer Torah is that the Ksav has to be absolutely perfect. Now you're changing the Ksav entirely, and you can take all the rules that would apply to an old Ksav, which is called Ksav Iri, and apply them to Ksav Ashuris. Well, that certainly is radically changing the law itself. Why is that not called a shinui? But basically he's saying is that, you know, as far as the Heksha Sefer Torah is concerned, the Torah requires a ksav. What is that ksav? So at one point in history, Moshe Rabbeinu had the authority to identify the ksav as ksav ivri, miloshen aram naroi evrandor. And at another point in history, Ezra was granted that authority to say that the Ksav is a different Ksav. It's the Ksav Ashuris. But it doesn't change the law of the Torah, because the laws of the Torah that apply to that Ksav, the old Ksav, the original Ksav, will now apply to the new Ksav. I'm just telling you what I see over here. I find this very difficult. The Ritva has a third answer. And the Ritva says the following. He claims, again, this is against everything that we've said until now, that the Luchos HaBris were given in Ksav Ashuris. Now, it's Tzvei Dinim over here. There's the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu was written in Ksav Ivri. But the Luchot HaBrit, they were given in Ksav Ashuris. So all that Ezra now had to do was, since the Torah already recognized the Ksav Ashuris and it was used on the Luchos, therefore he expanded that to apply that same Ksav to the Torah itself. Meaning, the Torah offered two options as to which Ksav is considered valid. The Torah split it by telling us that here we use Ashuris and here we use Ivris, but they're both valid. And Ezra, the nature of Ezra's enactment was that he decided at that point in history that we should absolutely use the Ksav Ashuris for the writing of the Sefer Torah. Maybe Ezra felt that the Ksav Ivri was very, very difficult and people were not familiar with that Ksav. And the Malach had already given him the green light to go ahead and this. And since the Ksav Ashuris, according to the Ritva, was the Ksav in which the Luchos were written, that already goes back to the original Matan Torah. Now, does everybody agree with Mar Zutra and Mar Ukva? Because it would be very, comfortable if we found that the Tanoim, way before the Amoraim, had this tradition. So what we're going to base ourselves on now is Rabbi Yossi. And as we turn to Chav Beis, we're going to see that Rabbi Yossi is not accepted. There's Rebbe and there's Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Everybody's going to gang up on this Rabbi Yossi. But let's see what Rabbi Yossi says. Tanya. Rabbi Yossi Omer Roy Hoya Ezra Shetinosein Torah Al Yodol Yisrael. Ezra was so great that he could have given the Torah. Hashem did not have to choose Moshe Rabbeinu to give the Torah. Ezra was on that level that he could have been the Torah giver. Ilmali, the only problem is Kadma Moshe. Moshe came first. It's like, you know, the Ramah, you know, he wrote his own Shulchan Aruch, but the Mechaber of Yosef Cairo got to the printer first, so they already printed the Shulchan Aruch, and it was well accepted. And the Ramah had nothing else to do but to take his Shulchan Aruch and condense it to a mapa, which we call a tablecloth over the Shulchan Aruch, over the set table, and he adds his comments on the Shulchan Aruch. And this has happened many times throughout Jewish history, that somebody just got to the printer first, and he printed a sefer that was well accepted, and then it was very difficult afterwards. So Ezra lost out over here, because Moshe Rabbeinu came before him. Obviously this was part of a divine scheme, but Moshe and Ezra were both on the same level. Either of them would have been perfect candidates for being the givers of the Torah. How does Rabbi Yossi know such a thing? And he takes two psukim, one that describes Moshe Rabbeinu, one that describes Ezra. One is obviously in the Torah, the other is in Nach. And he compares these two psukim. B'Moshe hu omer, u'Moshe Allah el Halokim. Moshe climbs the mountain. And this is right before Perek Chof, which is the Perek of Matan Torah in Sefer Shmos. And he goes up to the mountain to receive the Torah. And how does the Torah describe it? Allah. So we have to emphasize the word Allah. So this is a plug for Nefesh B'Nefesh or all those other Aliyah organizations. Because B'Ezra, the Pasuk in Ezra, who Ezra Allah Mibavel. He also made Aliyah. Moshe Rabbeinu made Aliyah up to the mountain of God to receive the Torah. Ezra made Aliyah to Bavel. But let's read the next part of the Pasuk, which is not printed on our page. It says, V'hu sofer mahir b'toras Moshe asher nosan Hashem. So the subject of this pasuk is not just Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, but it's Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael for the purpose of being the scribe for the Torah's Moshe. And you might ask, well, anybody could be a scribe for Torah's Moshe. Yeah, but anybody else would have written the Torah in Lashon Ivris, like Moshe's Torah. But he, Ezra, was the unique scribe, and he would write the Torah in Ksav Ashuris. Ma aliyah, so it's exeris shavih aliyah. Ma aliyah ha'omer kan. In the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, he went up to the mountain to receive what? The Torah, and to transmit the Torah to Klal Yisrael. Af aliyah ha'omer lahalon. So to the aliyah in the case of Ezra, his Torah is for the sake of transmitting the Torah, which means that Ezra himself could have transmitted the Torah. He was, you know, who beat him to it? That was Moshe Rabbeinu. And furthermore, With regard to Moshe, who Omer the Pasuk says the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, it says Vaschai, it says Vyosi Tziva Hashem Ba'isahi Lelamed Eschem Chukim U'Mishpatim. So God chose me and He commanded me to teach you the laws and the statutes of Ezra, Omer. Very similar. The Pasuk in Sefer Ezra says, Ki Ezra Hechin Levavo Lidrosh Es Torah Hashem Velasos Ulamed Bisrael Chok U'Mishpat. That same concept of transmitting to Israel Chok U'Mishpat that we saw by Moshe Rabbeinu appears in the case of Ezra. And even though Ezra lost out because Moshe already had received the Torah, Nishtana al Yodo. However, there was a radical change in the Torah itself. The Ksav of the Torah, which was originally Ksav Ivri, now became Ksav Aramis, Shenemar. And here we turn to Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph. This apostle in Ezra, Ksav HaNishtavun. Nishtavun is the Aramaic form conjugation of Nishtaneh in Hebrew. It was changed. Kosav Aramis, it was now written in the Ksav of Aramis. So this is the radical change, as we called it before, a new second Nesinas HaTorah at the hands of Ezra. Ezra would have been worthy for the first Nesinas HaTorah. Moshe beat him to it, but he gave the Torah the second time around. Then the Pasuk says, Umiturgom Aramis. And not only did Ezra write it in the script of Aramis, but he also transliterated it into, well, now it's not a transliteration because the Ksav is Aramis and also the language in which the Torah is written is Aramis. Uksiv. Now, if you're up to the word Uksiv, now we're going back to a different book in Tanakh. And that's the book of Daniel. And in this book of Daniel, there is a chapter, half of which is dedicated to we call it the handwriting on the wall, which means that a hand came down from Shemayim, and the Malach writes something. Now, when did this take place? Belshazzar had hosted a banquet, a great banquet, and at that banquet, Belshazzar took the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash that he inherited from Nebuchadnezzar, and he used those kelim at the Seuda. They served a meal at the Seuda with Belshazzar, the king, officiating with the utensils of the Beis Hamikdash. And all of a sudden, havoc breaks out because a hand comes down from Shemayim and the Malach writes on a wall stuff that's very strange. The king couldn't figure it out. None of the people sitting at the table could figure it out. They called in the Chachmei HaMelech, the wise people of the king. No one could decipher the message. Obviously they understood it was an important message. You know, it's not every day that you're sitting at a restaurant and all of a sudden a hand comes down from Shemayim. And the Pasuk there in Daniel describes it. Lo kehalin ksava. They couldn't, kalin means to read it. They couldn't read the ksav, the script. Ula upishra. Pishra means liftarat ha-pesher adover, to try to find the meaning of it. Lahodala Malka, this message that was obviously being sent and transmitted to the king. Now, why is it that they couldn't figure it out? So Chazal understood that this Malach was writing with a new ksav. Now, what does it mean it was a new ksav? The Jews at that time were not proficient in that ksav, because this was the ksav, what we call ksav Ashuris, otherwise known as ksav Aramis. But later on in history, they began, the Jewish people, to use this ksav, and then it became very familiar, to the point to which that Ezra found that it was meaningful to write the Torah in that ksav, in those osios, in that script, which is called ksav Aramis, because the people of Israel became very familiar with it. Uksiv. And now we get back to the parasha of the Melech. It says, V'kosav Lois Mishnah Torah Zos. What does the word Mishnah mean? We said until now, based on the first price, that it means a second Sefer Torah. No. Mishnah Torah means Ksav Haroi Lishtanos. That the script of the Torah would be changed. And when and what point in time would we know that it has to be changed? This is during the period of Ezra. He's going to change the Ksav, the script of the Torah. Why? Because the Malach, when he writes a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Belshazzar, and this is during the period of Daniel, he's going to write it in that same Ksav, the Ksav which Ezra is going to choose for the giving of the Torah, for the writing of the Torah. Now, Lama Dikris, why is this Ksav, the script, called Ashuris? That's what we saw earlier in the Brisa, that Ezra wrote the Torah in Ksav Ashuris, in that script. And the answer is, Allah Imohem Me Ashur. So here I have a very important footnote here. He says, what do you mean Ashur? Ashur is identified in the Tanakh as the location, the country, Shebo Golu Aseres Ashvatim. So the 10 Shvatim that we lost went into exile into Ashur. I think it's called Assyria in English. In any event, Vehemlo Chazru. They never returned. They even are dying, even to this day. But Shifte Yehudu Binyamin, they went into Golus, into Bavel, Paras, Umadai. So in effect, Ashur is an area that's separated from Bavel, Paras, Umadai. He says, Bechalzos, nevertheless, Chazal, Regilim Heimlechanos is Bavel. When they talk about Bavel, they very often use the word Ashur, or even when they talk about Aram and Paras, they sometimes generalize about all these areas where the Jews went into exile, they call it Ashur, even though it was actually 10 Shvatim who went into Ashur and they never came back. The Hebekros Hashem Ashur, so all these areas into which the Jewish people were exiled. And again, we're fundamentally putting all our emphasis on Yehuda and Binyamin, and they went into Bavel and Aram. Those are called in the Lashon Chazal Ashur. And he points out in the name of the Yavis was Rav Yaakov Emden, he lived about 5 centuries ago, and he says, V'cheinu gam b'Novi, that sometimes the Novi himself will use the word Ashur as a generic term for the exile of the people of Israel. He says, take a look at Sefer Ezra. In the 34th chapter, it says, "Ve'isev lachem melech Ashur." He calls him the king of Ashur. Vakavano, but really the intention is Lamelech Bavel. So you see that Bavel and Ashur, Bavel where they spoke Aramaic, and Ashur, which is a different country with the Aser, those two terms are used interchangeably. So when it says here that this is a ksav sha'ola imam me Ashur, it really means that this is the ksav that came with them from Aram, from Bavel. And this was the Ksav Aramis, otherwise known in Chazal as the Ksav Ashuris, and that's the Ksav in which the Sefer Torah. So basically, we now have a Brice of Rav Yossi, which supports the Shita of Mar Zutra and Mar Ukva, that there was a change in the Torah from Ksav Ivri to Ksav Ashuri, that was effectuated by none other than Ezra. And this was in the aftermath of the story of the hand that came down from Shemayim at the Seuda of Belshazzar. And what is the Torah? Is there any basis in the Torah for a change in the Ksav of the Torah? The answer is it says Mishnah HaTorah. What's Mishnah HaTorah? Ksav HaRoy L'shtano. So the Torah is already foretelling that there will be a change in the Ksav of the Torah. Now, remind me, fellas, if you're interested, this is just for secular history. Has no din of Talmud Torah per se, but if it interests you, I have a photograph of a very famous painting. You can find it online, I'm sure. It's in the National Gallery in London, in Trafalgar Square, from Rembrandt. And it's called Belshazzar's Feast. And I don't know if you know this, but Rembrandt, amongst other things, was very famous for biblical portraits. And he's amazing in that there's so much emotion and so much passion in his, you know, you can take something like, you know, Yaakov bestowing the brachas on Menashe and Ephraim, you know, where he switches the hands, also a famous Rembrandt, or many, many different Akedas Yitzchak, and Rembrandt adds a tremendous emotional power to his, and in this case, it's really phenomenal that to see how Rembrandt portrayed this biblical event. The reason why I'd like you to see this is because Rembrandt reflects one of three different opinions in our sugya in Masechta Sanhedrin. How he knew that we accepted that opinion is something I'll keep you in suspense, and if you're interested, I'll tell you tomorrow. But somebody has to write me an email, Rabbi, bring in that photograph. Because otherwise, 99% chance that I'll forget. Okay. Now, all this is one school of thought, that there was a change in the Ksav of the Torah. However, Tanya, we have another Braisa, which is the reflects the opinion of Rebbe. And Rebbe says that I deny this whole story that the Ksav changed at the time of Daniel and Ezra. That when Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah to Israel, he gave it in this Ksav, which is called Ksav Ashuris, not Ksav Ivris. So forget about everything that we said until now about the Kusim and the Shomranim and their old ancient Sefer Torah from Pinchas' time. But the only problem is that Rebbe has to answer the following question: why is it that when the Malach came down from Shemayim and he writes on the wall at the time of Belshazzar, why is it that no one was able to read that Ksav? I mean, if the Jewish people were familiar with that Ksav and it was the same Ksav that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, why couldn't they read it? And Rebbe's answer to this is Kevan Shechatu, that the Jewish people were guilty of sin during the period of what we call Bais Rishon, is nefach lahem leroitz. Roitz means a broken up situation. Something got completely distorted and broken. And they actually forgot the Ksav Ashuris. This is wild. I mean, in other words, the Torah was given a Ksav Ashuris, but at some point, due to the sins of Klal Yisrael, they actually forgot the Ksav Ashuris. No one could read Ashuris anymore. And this again reflects what I suggested before. Again, it's just my hunch, that there weren't that many Sifrei Torah around at that time. It wasn't a common practice to learn from that Sefer Torah. But Kevan Shechazru Bahem, when they did Tshuva, and this is at the time of Ezra, and we have to understand that Ezra's period of time is a very complicated period of time. Do they actually do Tshuva? But now we're assuming that Chazru Bahem. So if Zirulahem God returned to them the language of Ksav Ashuris, Shenemar. Now again, who is the Navi who foretells the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash? That is, with a capital Z, Zechariah Navi. What does Zechariah say? Shuvu Levitzaron, return to Jerusalem. Now, Bitzaron is Miloshon Mivtzar. Mivtzar is actually a citadel or a protective city. And Yerushalayim was protected, in fact, by a wall. But it means more than that. On a symbolic level, it means that this is the city that will protect you on a spiritual level, if you keep it pure. Asire tikva, those who are absolutely dedicated to tikva, to hope. Those who have hope that the city of Jerusalem will be rebuilt. Gam hayom, Magid Mishnah Oshiv Lach. Magid Mishnah means that I will return the Mishnah Torah Hazos. In other words, even though you've forgotten the Ksav of Ashuris, nobody can recognize it, nobody knows how to read it, God promises here in the Nevuah of Zechariah that at the time of the rebuilding of the Mikdash, not only will we return to Jerusalem, but we will return to the Ksav Ashuris, and we will understand the Ksav Ashuris. Now, very often, Chazal choose a name, and then when they choose the name, they try to find deeper meaning in the name itself. Alav Nikra Shma Ashuris. After all, we said it really was the Ksav of Aram, and it wasn't the Ksav of Ashur, but we call it Ashuris Shema Usheres B'Ksav. It is the most beautiful of all letters, of all scripts. So again, I don't know, you know, you could go out and ask the Japanese or the Chinese or the British or any country in the world which Ksav they consider the most beautiful. I doubt if they're going to tell you it's Ksav Ashuris, the Hebrew script, but according to our Chazal, Ksav Ashuris is the most beautiful of any Ksav. And if you're interested in a kind of discovery program, you know what I'm talking about? Eish HaTorah kind of thing. So it's mind-boggling. There is no script on the face of the earth, to the best of my knowledge, that has the symbolic meaning of Ksav Ashuris. So if you're looking for a belief in the Torah, I mean, go through Ksav Ashuris. I mean, every single letter in the Torah can be broken down into its parts. I'm not even talking about its numerical significance. Forget about that. That's a whole other world. You could write books on that topic. And I'm not even talking about, you know, the discovery program shows you how you could read history from different, you know, words that repeat itself every seven letters, every seven, you know, leave all that out. Just in terms of the osios themselves, there's so much deep meaning. There's a whole sugya Masechta Shabbos in Perek HaBona, which I think is the 12th Perek of Masechta Shabbos, totally dedicated to the meaning of the Tzuras HaOsios. That every letter has a significance to it. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Rabbi Akiva wrote a lot of midrashim about this. Mind-boggling. But anyway, according to Chazal, Ksav Ashuris is called Hamu'usheres Sheviksav. He translates it in Hebrew as Mehuleles Sheviksavim. You know, it's the most praiseworthy of all the different scripts that man has. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, he also rejects this concept that the Torah was originally given in one script, which is called Ksav Ivri, and then it was changed by Ezra. And he quotes Rabbi Elazar ben Parta, Sha'amar Mishum Rabbi Elazar Modai, right, that's right here, over here, is Rabbi Elazar Modai. Ksav Zeh, this Ksav Ashuri Lo Nishtana Kol Ikar, same words as Rebbe in the previous Brisa, Shenemar, but he has a different source for this. And this is a pasuk at the end of, towards the end, the middle of Sefer Shmos, which refers to the Yesedos HaMishkan. There was a Chatzah HaMishkan, and the Chatzah HaMishkan, the courtyard of the tent, had to be set up on what's called Amudim. Amudim means pillars. And the Yesedos themselves, the pegs that tied down the Amudim to the Chatzah HaMishkan, were made of kesef, they were made of silver. And then on these Amudim, there were lulos, there were certain rings, and the klai hachatzah, meaning the curtains of the chatzah were attached through these lulim. And these lulos, these rings, are called vavei ha'amudim. Now it's interesting that the word vav in singular is, on the one hand, a certain vertical structure. On the other hand, it also refers to a letter in the script of the Torah, and that's the sixth letter in Ksav Ashuris, is called a vav. And the vavei hamudim, according to this drasha from Rabbi Elazar Modoy, has a very important significance. The Torah itself indicates that the vav, which is, again, as I said, the sixth letter of Ashur, is indicative of the Amudim. The Amudim are the pillars that stood in a vertical, you know, a vertical tzura, from up to down. And already at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, the word Vav, which is a reference to the sixth letter of the Ksav Ashuri, means a vertical pole, so to speak, like a Vav that goes up and down. He says we can prove from this, not the way Rebbe in the previous Brisa understood that we had forgotten the language of Ashuris. We never forgot the language of Ashuris. Why? Because Ma Amudim Lo Nishtanu, because the Amudim were always there, you know, they were commanded by the Torah to set up these pillars, and on these pillars we would have the Klai HaChatzer, etc., etc. Is Af Vavim Lo Nishtanu. So too the word Vav, which means the Tzuras Os Vav, never was changed. So that according to this tradition, we never forgot We never forgot the Ksav Hashuris. Again, what problem are we going to have to raise now if we didn't forget the Ksav Hashuris?
Belshazzar,
right? The story of Belshazzar. And on that, we're going to have three different opinions. The Omer. Now let's fast forward to Esther. And it says by Esther, it says, Ve'el Yehudim kiksavam ukilashonam. So there's a Ksav and there's a Lashon. Malashonam lo nishtana. Just like you have to admit to me that Lashon Kodesh was well known to the Jewish people. They were familiar with Lashon Kodesh throughout the Jewish history. They never forgot it. Av ksavam lo nishtana. They never forgot the Ksav of Ashuris, and the Torah was given in Ksav Ashuris. Again, why does the Torah call it Mishneh Torah? That's because the Melech has to write two Sifrei Torah. Elamani Makayves Mishneh Torah Azos. So what does it mean? Mishneh Torah Azos Lushtei Torah. Sacha Sheyotzeis V'nichneses Imo. The Achash Munachas Lo B'nei Gnozov. So one Sefer Torah had it tied down to his arm, as we saw yesterday, and he took it with him when he left the confines of the palace. And the other Sefer Torah was permanently set in the treasury of the king, in the palace of the king. Osa Yotzeis B'nichneses Imo Osin Osa Kamin Kamiya V'tola Bizro Shenem Hashivisi Hashem L'negdi Somin. Now, we're going to have to stop here, but what we're going to, in Mirtz Hashem, study tomorrow, just to finish up to the Mishnah, that'll be the first part of tomorrow's Shia, is, according to Rabbi Lazar Modoi, if they never forgot this Ksav, and the Torah was originally given in the Ksav of Ashuris, and they never forgot the Ksav, why were they so confused when the hand came down at the Seud of Belshazzar, and the Malach wrote in Ksav Ashuris? So we're going to have three different opinions to answer that question. Okay then? So I wish everyone a great day. If anyone wants to learn a little Sanhedrin B'Iyun, try to make a little progress on the relationship between destroying Amalek and building the base of Mikdash, we'll pick that up in Mirtz Hashem at 10. At 10. When do we pick that up?
10:30.
Right, 10:30. Okay then?
Okay.
I just wanted to check one thing about Shivisi Hashem. Interesting. So why did the Melech have to keep the Sefer Torah tied to his arm when he left? Because the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Shivisi Hashem L'negdi Samin. So yesterday I mentioned that even though the Torah is addressing the Melech, we have to also, every ordinary citizen has to learn from the Melech, and I think this would support what I said, because Shivisi Hashem L'negdi Samin is not a mitzvah that's incumbent upon the Melech. Shulchan Aruch starts with them. The Ramah opens up his commentary on Shulchan Aruch with Shivisi Hashem, and then it says Ki Bividei Baal Emot. It's got to be on his right hand. It should never leave his right hand. So that's the Sefer Torah. And David HaMelech says that he had the Sefer, he was the king of Israel, and he had the Sefer Torah tied down to his right hand, so he never left the Shechina. It's the Torah here is represented by the Shechina.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
But they both say that it was originally written in their Sharit, but it was only when the Jews sinned in the first temple that it changed.
So, wait, one second. When you say they both, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. Rebbe?
Right. Said it was originally written in Ivrit, then they
No. I'm just saying, what you said is correct. If you're referring to Rebbe and Rabbi Elazar HaModoi, both Rebbe and Rabbi Elazar HaModoi agree that the Torah was originally written in Ashuris.
Okay.
However, let's not forget Rabbi Yossi. He's also Tana.
Okay.
And he supports the view that we saw in the Amoraim of Mar Zutra and Mar Ukva, that the Torah was a new Torah that was given. The original Torah was given in Ksav Ashuris.
Okay.
So let's say if you are convinced historically.
Ksav
Ivrit.
Right.
So if you're a historian, and again, even if you're a historian, then there's another if. And if you are convinced that the Shomranim over there don't have a Sefer Torah that dates back to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's written in Ksav Ivris, then you're on the side of Rabbi Yossi. You know, we're not leaving you out in the cold. You have Rabbi Yossi to stand on. But if you want to be skeptical, maybe because you feel that how could Ezra change the Ksav of the Torah, then you have two major Tanoim, that's Rebbe and Rabbi Elazar HaModoi, both of who say that no, that the ksav that we have today, which is the ksav Mishus, was the same identical ksav at which the Torah was given by Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Mishneh Torah is a reference to the special obligation of the king to have two Sifrei Torah.
So Rabbi Elazar Hamodai is supporting Rebbe.
Correct.
Against Yossi.
He just disagrees with Rebbe on one major point.
Which is?
Rebbe says that although the Torah was originally given in Ashuris, at some point historically we lost it.
And
that was a divine punishment.
And Hamadai
Rebbe Elazar Hamadai says we always knew Ksav Ashuris, we were very familiar with it, we knew Lashon Kodesh, and we knew Ksav Ashuris. At the time Belshazzar, how come the Jews were so confused they couldn't read Ksav Ashuris? So that we're going to have three answers to that tomorrow. And if you're interested, I want to show you.
I'm not here tomorrow, unfortunately.
Oh, I'd love to show you.
I have a tool tomorrow.
All right, so remind me at some point to bring it in.
Because
I have a beautiful, it's a small version, but it's a colored photograph.
I have an article which I'll see if I can give.